You are listening to continuing coverage of the trial of Chad Daybell from True Crime Today and the Hidden Killers podcast. Let's go back to the courtroom.
And what is that document?
This is transaction history for Tylee's account, the 5794 BBVA from August 2019, I believe through November of 2019. I'm sorry. It goes through January of 2020.
Okay. And earlier we spoke about on Tylee's JP Chase Morgan account about spending between brick and mortar stores and online payments. What's the general nature on this account?
This activity is completely opposite of what Tylee was using on her JP Chase account. All the activity on this account is done online, with the exception of two dates. And you'll see on, I believe, September 17th, there was a transaction where it was used in person at a Costa Vida Mexican restaurant. And then there was another in-person transaction on October 25th, I believe. October 7th. And we believe that Tylee did not make those purchases in person.
In the mic, please, Mr. Pryor.
Judge, I'm going to object to that characterization. It calls for speculation.
I'll sustain the last part of the response there, striking the belief Tylee did not make the purchases in person. There's no foundation for that, Mr. Wood.
All right. I'll lay some foundation. Thank you. Detective, through your investigation in this case, were you involved in the search for Tylee Ryan?
Yes.
And are you aware of, through that search, of a last known sighting of Tylee Ryan?
Last known sighting of Tylee Ryan, I believe, was a photograph where she was in Yellowstone on the 8th of September, 2019.
And so these purchases that were made after that date, what was significant about those to you in this investigation?
Just complete opposite of anything that Tylee was doing up until this point. Everything is done online in this account. The monies are coming in from Lori's account to her personal account. She would send money, make deposits into Tylee's account, and then those monies would immediately be Venmo'd out to, we learned, Colby Ryan, who is Lori's son.
And you spoke about two brick-and-mortar purchases?
Yes.
And I believe you said they were both at Costa Vida?
They were both at Costa Vida.
All right. I'm going to ask you to look at State's Exhibit 65D.
Okay.
And what is State's Exhibit 65D?
The exhibit is a copy of the receipt that I obtained for a purchase with Tylee's account on the 17th of September of 2019.
Right.
It was an in-person purchase.
And on the third page of State's Exhibit 65D, what is that?
This is a Costa Vida receipt dated October 7th, 2019, that was used with Tylee's card associated with this account for an in-person purchase.
And so to clarify, Tylee, in that BBVA account, she never received Social Security payments there?
No.
Detective, can you look at State's Exhibit 66? Do you recognize State's Exhibit 66?
This is an affidavit of business records for Barclays Bank.
Okay. And, Your Honor, for the record, this exhibit does come in with a business records affidavit. It has subparts A through D. And with that business record, I believe it comes in by way of stipulation.
As to Exhibit 66, any objection?
And again, Judge, that was an agreement prior that this would be admitted by stipulation of the parties.
Okay. Exhibit 66 has been offered and is admitted, as well as the subparts 66A through D.
Thank you. Detective, do you recognize State's Exhibit 66A?
This is a Barclay Bank application for credit card, and it is in the name of Lori Vallow.
All right. Is anyone else's name on there?
No.
Right. Do you know when this was applied for?
So the application date was September 24th of 2015.
And can you look at application 524-71125?
This is the application for Barclays Bank credit card for Charles Vallow. And the application date is the same as the previous.
All right. Thank you. And then application 5566-2600. What is that?
This is Barclays Bank application for a credit card in the name of Lori Vallow. The application date was April 19th of 2016.
So this was a joint credit card application. Is that fair to say?
Yes.
Can you look at State's Exhibit 66B? What is that?
This is a monthly statement of transactions activity for the Barclays credit card belonging to Lori and Charles Vallow.
In your investigation, was there anything significant about the information you found on this page?
Yes, two things stand out. On the second line down for June 12th, we see a credit card payment to Valley of the Sun Mortuary in Chandler, Arizona. And this is the day after, if you recall, Charles Vallow was killed on July 11th of 2019. And the second date is all down to the bottom of the page here. So on July 20th, we see an airline ticket purchase for Legion Air in the name of Chad Daybell. And the airfare was round trip from Provo, Utah. The PVU is the acronym for Provo. And the IWA is Phoenix Mesa, and then round trip back to Provo. I'm sorry.
Go ahead. I didn't mean to interrupt.
You see on this page here, too, that you have purchase activity for Charles Vallow, and there is no transaction activity in July. And then you see that this card used by Lori Vallow that was issued to her, it was responsible for these transactions.
All right. And so the transaction for the payment for airfare for Chad Daybell was what date?
On July 21st. It was the purchase date. The July 20th was the post date.
And to your knowledge and investigation, was Chad Daybell married to Tammy Daybell at the time?
He was.
That was purchased. Can you look at State's Exhibit 66C? And what is that document?
I have a Barclays MasterCard in the name of Alex Cox, and this is a monthly statement of transaction activity for this account.
And you had mentioned earlier that Alex had an account that he shared with his sister Lori. Is this that account?
It is.
How do you know that they shared it?
They each were assigned separate cards.
All right. Can you describe, or is there anything else of significance on this document to your investigation?
Yes, we have. At the bottom of the page, we have airfare for Lori Vallow flying from Phoenix Mesa to Idaho Falls on a round trip, and that would be February 25th.
And is the Idaho Falls airport the nearest airport to Chad Daybell's residence?
Yes.
Was there anything else of note on this page or this document?
On the next page.
Okay.
On this page, you're seeing purchases in the month of March on the Alexander Cox, Lori Vallow shared credit card account. You see purchase activity for Lori, and you see her card that ends in the number 5259. There are three purchases that she makes on this account that show that she bought airfare for Tylee Ryan and Tylee's friend, Brianna Gill. And those purchases were made on March 13th, and they were round trip from Phoenix to LIH, which is, I believe it's pronounced Lihue, Hawaii, on the island of Kauai. And then directly under that, for March 14th, you see Lori using her card to pay for airfare for Chad Daybell, flying from Idaho Falls round trip to Phoenix Mesa and back to Idaho Falls.
And that was March 14th of
2019.
And so Charles Vallow was still alive at that point, to your knowledge, correct?
Correct.
Did you find any indication that Charles Vallow had a card on this account?
He did not.
And then, Detective, would you look at State's Exhibit 66D? What is that document?
This is the application for a Barclays credit card in the name of Alex Cox, dated 9/26 of 2016.
And was this associated with the account we were just speaking of?
Yes.
Okay. Is there anything of note on that document to your investigation?
I'm talking about just this particular page.
In that document, is it just the...
It's just the account information for...
Account information.
For Alex, yes.
Detective, can you look at State's Exhibit 67? And your,
sorry.
Oh, I was going to say, Your Honor, this Exhibit 67 has one subpart, just 67A, and it is... Exhibit 67 is a business record affidavit, so I believe this comes in by way of stipulation.
All right.
That's correct.
Very well. By stipulation, the parties Exhibit 67 and Exhibit 67A are both admitted.
All right. Detective, are you familiar with State's Exhibit 67A?
I have some knowledge of it, and it's the account from First Hawaiian Bank for Lori Vallow.
And did you receive this through a warrant or subpoena?
I did.
Did you review this?
I was not the primary reviewer of this.
Did you provide this to another agency to review?
I did. I provided it to forensic accountant Michael Douglas of the FBI.
All right. Can you look at State's Exhibit 68? Do you have that?
Yes.
What is that?
This is a business record affidavit associated with Chrysler Capital Finance Company.
And Your Honor, this, again, State's Exhibit 68 is a business records affidavit, has one subpart 68A. I believe this comes in by way of stipulation.
That's correct, Judge.
All right, Exhibit 68 and 68A are both admitted.
Detective, are you familiar with State's Exhibit 68A?
I am.
Or 68A?
Yes.
What is it?
This is a application for credit to through Chrysler Financial for a purchase Charles Vallow made of a 2018 Jeep Wrangler that we associated with Tyler Ryan.
And are you familiar with the search for a Jeep in Rexburg, Idaho?
I am.
Is this that same Jeep?
It is.
Right. Is there anything else in that document of note to your investigation?
Yes, that the payments would be made on automatic withdrawals through the account of Tylee Ryan's JP Chase account, the 3918 that she had her. This is the account that it had the stipends deposited into when she first opened that account.
Okay. Thank you. Detective, can you look at State's Exhibit 82? And Your Honor, again, 82 is an affidavit of a records custodian. Has one subpart, 82A. I believe it comes in by way of stipulation.
That is correct, Judge.
Okay. Exhibit 82 and Exhibit 82A are both admitted.
Detective, what is the document found in State's Exhibit 82A?
The document is a rental application in the name of Lori Vallow for 565 Pioneer Road, number 107. The Rock Creek Townhomes in Rexburg, Idaho.
And have you reviewed this document?
I have.
Was there anything of note to your investigation on that document?
Yes, it shows that Lori did move from Arizona to Rexburg, and it shows that she is listed both JJ and Tylee to be living with her. And on the second page, you see here that...
If you're going to point something out, if you can point it with a...
Sorry. So her monthly rent from her previous residence in Arizona, she stated the reason for leaving. Lori writes, she is bringing children to attend BYUI. My daughter graduated high school at 16 and wants to attend BYUI, but is too young to live alone, so I'm coming with her and relocating.
Okay.
And then below that, you see, as far as her income, she lists Social Security. So all of the Social Security benefits, Lori's claiming just as her sole income.
Right. And was there an amount that she gave for that?
There was. So there's $5,740. And if you combine all three deposits, the one for Lori, the one for JJ and Tylee's, it arrives at this amount right here.
Thank you. Detective, we've been talking about Lori Vallow and Tylee Ryan's financial accounts. Did you review any other financial accounts as part of your investigation?
I did.
What other financial accounts did you review?
Reviewed the financial information for Alex Cox, Lori Vallow's brother.
Right. Earlier, you showed a document listing out Lori Vallow and Tylee Ryan's different accounts that you had prepared for demonstrative purposes. Did you prepare a similar account for Alex Cox's financial documents?
I did.
Did you do that to aid the jury in understanding which documents or which financial documents pertain to Alex Cox?
Yes.
And did you do that in preparation for your testimony?
I did.
Can you look at State's Exhibit 69? Is this the same demonstrative list that you've been speaking about?
Yes.
Your Honor, for demonstrative purposes only, I'd ask the State's, or is this a true and accurate representation of the list you created?
Yes.
Your Honor, I'd ask that for demonstrative purposes only, that State's Exhibit 69 be entered into evidence.
There won't be an objection, Judge.
Okay. Without objection, then, Exhibit 69 is admitted.
May I publish?
You may.
Detective, can you describe for the jury what is on State's Exhibit 69?
So this is a financial account attribution list I created for Alex Cox as we were looking into the whereabouts of JJ and Tylee. We went through Alex's financial information, and this is the information that we narrowed down through reviews that are pertinent to the investigation. So you see here, the first one is the Desert Financial Credit Union. This was Alex's everyday account. He was receiving paychecks on a regular basis. He was very responsible in his account and his spending. He had a fairly decent well, decent for me at least, I'm sorry, but for as far as his account balance. So he was not reckless in any way in this account. You see the joint credit card that we just spoke to with Lori, and these are the cards that were associated with that. Alex also had a Mercury MasterCard, and he had a personal account from Wells Fargo, and from that he had two cards on Capital One credit cards. And then towards the end, after they moved to Idaho, he ended up opening up a account at the Mountain America Credit Union in Rexburg.
Thank you. Detective, can you look at State's Exhibit 70? And Your Honor, again, State's Exhibit 70 is an affidavit of a custodian of records. State's Exhibit 70 has two subparts, A and B. I believe it comes in by way of stipulation.
Any objection to the admission of 70 and 70 A and B?
No, Judge. It comes in by way of stipulation of the parties.
All right. Exhibit 70 as well as 70 A and B are all admitted.
Detective, can you look at State's Exhibit 70 A? And are you familiar with that document?
I am.
What is it?
It's a consumer loan application for a 2017 Ford F-150 pickup truck that in the name of Alex Cox.
And did you review these documents as part of your investigation?
I have knowledge of them, but I was not the primary reviewer of those.
Okay. Did you provide those to another agency?
Yes. There is a second account that I did review on the next page, and it's a checking account application, then an account ending 7175 for Alex Cox, and that's his main everyday account. And I reviewed those documents.
All right. Was there anything of note to you that in that?
Yes. So as I stated earlier, Alex was very responsible, and he was very busy on this account. It appeared to be his everyday account. He was making payments to his credit cards out of this account as well.
Right. Did those payments ever stop?
The payments did stop. So from this account, we learned that Alex had quit his job when he moved to Idaho. He was working for Heritage Environmental in Arizona, and he was receiving 2 to 3 paychecks a month. And at the end of August and beginning of September, he had quit that job and moved to Idaho. just before he quit his job, he received a loan in the amount of $21,000 in August. I believe it was August 8th. And from then on, he had no income, no regular income, as he was not employed, that we could tell.
All right, is there anything of significance in terms of purchase history in these documents?
Yes, Alex begins purchasing firearms and firearms-related items with this account and the credit cards.
And you said in August. What year was that?
That's 2019.
All right. And is that purchase history different from the rest of this account?
Sorry, I don't understand your question.
The purchase history of firearms, is that something consistent through that account or just starting in August?
It just started in and around August.
You mentioned that he received a loan.
Yes.
Was there a reason listed for that?
Yes. On the loan application, it listed for medical reasons.
All right. And the amount of the loan was $21,000?
$21,000 that he received, yes.
Throughout your investigation, did you find any significant medical expenditures in his financial documents between the time of that loan and the time he died in December?
No.
All right. Can you look at State's Exhibit 70B? What is that?
70B is just a list of monthly statements dated from 2/21 of 2019, I believe, through November of 2019.
And were those the documents you were relying on for your most recent testimony?
Yes.
Okay. Detective, can you look at State's Exhibit 71? And Your Honor, State's Exhibit 71 comes in by way of custodian of records affidavit. So I believe it's stipulated to you and just has one subpart A.
Any objection to the admission of 71 and 71A?
No, Judge.
Very well. 71 and 71A are both admitted.
Detective, do you recognize State's Exhibit 71?
Yes, it's the custodian of records.
Oh, and I'm sorry. Can you look at State's Exhibit 71A?
Right. Yes, this is the loan application through Lending Club for the $21,000 loan for Alex.
And was this the loan we were talking about for medical expenditures?
Yes.
All right. Your Honor, may I have a brief sidebar?
Yes. All right, counsel, we just discussed some scheduling there. We are going to take a mid-morning break at this time. That will be a 30-minute break. We'll come back on and continue until noon, and we'll plan on taking our lunch at noon, and then as regular schedule, a mid-afternoon break after that, go till 3:30. Today will be our schedule moving forward, so at this time, we will take our mid-morning break.
All right, please.
Thank you. Please be seated. We don't have anything today on Zoom either. There's no Zoom hearing. Okay.
All rise. Your Honor, the jury is present and accounted for.
All right. Thank you, Mr. Bailiff. Please be seated. Okay, we're back on the record on KCR 2221-1623, State of Idaho versus Chad Guy Daybell. The state's continuing with its case in chief. Detective Consitis is on the stand and has previously been sworn and is under oath. Continuing with direct examination, the court would also note we had previously turned the blinds down for better resolution on the monitor, but had requests from the jurors to have the windows open, and so they're open, and hopefully we get good enough resolution on the monitor to go forward. We'll still dim lights when we're showing exhibits, and if it's clear enough, I'm fine to have the windows remain open. So, Mr. Wood, if you'd like to continue with direct, you can do that at this time.
Thank you, Your Honor. Detective, can you look at State's Exhibit 72 and 72A? And Your Honor, I just represent this is 72 is a business record affidavit and 72A is the one subpart. And I believe it comes in by way of stipulation.
All right. Exhibit 72 has been offered as well as 72A. Without objection, those exhibits are admitted.
Detective, do you recognize State's Exhibit 72 and 72A?
I do.
What are they?
72 is the affidavit of record for Credit Shop, which is the parent company for Mercury, for a credit card application for Alex Cox.
And did you serve a warrant or subpoena to obtain these records?
I did.
Did you review these records?
I have some knowledge of this account, but I was not the primary reviewer.
Did you provide these records to another law enforcement agency?
I did. Right. Michael Douglas, forensic accountant at the FBI.
All right, thank you. And you looked at States Exhibit 73 and 73A. Again, Your Honor, States Exhibit 73 has a business records affidavit. I believe it comes in by way of stipulation.
That is correct, Judge.
Okay, so 73 and 73A are each admitted as well.
Detective, are you familiar with this document?
I am.
What are these documents?
This is 73 is a business records declaration for a Wells Fargo account in the name of Alex Cox for a Visa credit card.
And did you serve a warrant or subpoena to obtain these records?
I did.
Did you review them?
I have some knowledge of them, but I was not the primary reviewer of this account.
Did you provide these documents to Mike Douglas at the FBI as well?
I did.
Yeah, thank you. When you look at States Exhibit 74, and again, Your Honor, States Exhibit 74 is a business records affidavit, and with one or two subparts, I believe it comes in by way of stipulation. Detective, are you familiar with States Exhibit 74?
I am.
All right. Your Honor, may that be admitted?
Any objection?
No objection.
Exhibit 74 and 74A and B are admitted.
And are you familiar with these documents?
Yes.
What are they?
It's a declaration of records from Capital One for two applications of credit cards in the name of Alex Cox.
And did you review? Did you obtain these through warrant or subpoena?
I did.
Did you review these records?
I have knowledge of them, but I was not the primary reviewer of these.
And does that apply to 74A and B?
Yes.
You provided those to Mike Douglas?
Yes.
Thank you. Detective, can you look at States Exhibit 75? And Your Honor, States Exhibit 75 is a business records affidavit with one subpart. I believe it comes in by way of stipulation.
Any objection to 75 and 75A being admitted?
No, Judge.
All right, 75A and 75 are each admitted.
Detective, are you familiar with these records?
I am.
Did you obtain those through warrant or subpoena?
I did.
Did you provide those documents to Mike Douglas of the FBI?
I did.
Yeah. Detective, is it fair to say that you reviewed Alex Cox's financial information, specifically the Desert Financial?
Yes.
Did you prepare a demonstrative chart to show a timeline of his financial records and spending?
Yes.
Did you do that in anticipation of testimony today?
Yes.
Would you look at States Exhibit 86? Is this the chart you've been preparing, that you spoke of preparing?
Yes.
Did you do that to aid the jury in understanding the timeline of some of Alex Cox's banking and events in this case?
Yes.
And is that document a true and accurate representation of what you created?
Yes.
Your Honor, for demonstrative purposes, the state would ask that States Exhibit 86 be entered into evidence.
No objection, Judge.
Very well. States Exhibit 86 is entered.
And may I publish?
You may.
Detective, can you walk the jury through this timeline and chart you've created?
Yes, this is the financial timeline for Alex Cox. Again, it's Lori Ballow's brother who moved to Idaho with Lori and Tylee JJ. So this is dated from February 7th, 2019 through December 12th. And December 12th is the day that Alex died. So that's where it stops. But you see in the dark blue part of the timeline, you have the financial credit union, 7175. He's got a steady income, regular monthly deposits from his place of work, the heritage environment, everything. I can reiterate, he was kind of responsible in the sense that he was paying his bills and paying on his credit cards. In August 9th, he applies for the $21,000 loan and receives it, and it's deposited into this account. So from August 10th through October 24th, you see here that Alex makes 46 transactions for gun-related purchases. Again, this covers the accounts and the credit card, the financial account, but he's paying on the credit cards through this account. So at the end of August, he quits his job and they move to Idaho with Lori and the kids, and he's got no job, no regular income. And then we see here on November 13th, he opens up the Mountain America Credit Union in Rexburg. And then a short time later, he dies on December 12th.
Thank you. Detective, as part of your investigation, did you review financial documents for Chad Daybell?
I have some knowledge, but I was not the primary reviewer for Mr. Daybell's accounts.
All right, but did you obtain any documents for Mr. Daybell?
I did.
Are some of those documents the ones that you testified to earlier that you handed to that you handed off to the FBI to look at?
Yes.
Okay. But you helped write subpoenas and warrants and obtained financial documents for Mr. Daybell?
I did.
Right. So far, you've provided two lists of financial account attribution lists, one for Lori and Tylee and one for Alex Cox. Did you prepare a similar list for the documents you received for Chad Daybell?
Yes.
Did you prepare that in anticipation of testifying today?
Yes.
Can you look at State's Exhibit 76? Did you prepare that document to aid the jury in understanding which accounts exist that contain financial information that you looked at for Chad Daybell?
I did.
And is that a true and accurate representation of the list you created?
Yes.
Did you do that to aid the jury in understanding the documents that you were looking at?
Yes.
Your Honor, I'd ask for demonstrative purposes that State's Exhibit that State's Exhibit 76 be admitted.
No objection, Judge.
Very well. Exhibit 76 is admitted.
And may I publish?
You may.
So here's the financial account attribution list I created for Mr. Daybell. His main everyday account, we learned, was from the Mountain America Credit Union. It was a joint account with his wife, Tammy, and the 3007 and the 3301 are two separate accounts within the Mountain America system that they had. And the second account here was for Spring Creek Book Company, and that's the company that Mr. Daybell owns and with his publishing and selling of books. And there was two credit cards assigned to this account, one card ending in 3136 and one card that was issued to Tammy, and the last four numbers were 7171. After that, we have a First Hawaiian Bank personal account that Mr. Daybell opened, and that account ends in 9185. There's a Citibank credit card that Mr. Daybell opened an account with. There's also a Visa card associated with a Wells Fargo account, and the last one on the list here was a Capital One account with two cards issued, one to Chad and one to his wife, Tammy.
All right. Detective, can you look at State's Exhibit 77? Your Honor, again, State's Exhibit 77 is a certificate of authenticity of business records, and there are subparts A through I. I believe this comes in by way of stipulation.
77 and 77A?
A through I.
I have been offered. Any objection?
No, Judge.
Very well. Exhibits 77 as well as 77A through I are all admitted.
Detective, can you look at State's Exhibit 77A?
Yes.
What is that document?
It is a monthly statement associated to account 3301 for, say, Spring Creek Book Company.
Okay. And did you review this document?
I have some knowledge of it, but I was not the primary reviewer.
Did you serve a warrant or subpoena to obtain this?
Yes.
Is this a document that you handed off to Mike Douglas as well?
Yes.
All right. Can you look at State 77B? And what is that?
This is a Mountain America Credit Union account 3007 for Chad Daybell.
And is it a joint account?
It's a joint account for Chad and his wife, Tammy.
All right. And in State's Exhibit 77A, who was that account for?
Oh, it was both for Chad and Tammy as well.
And was it involved with Spring Creek Book Company?
Yes.
Do you know what Spring Creek Book Company is?
It's the business Mr. Daybell owns for publishing and selling of books.
Judge, I'm going to object. I think that's a mischaracterization.
Response, Mr. Wood?
I think the officer testified to his knowledge. I don't see how that's a mischaracterization.
Voir dire in aid of objection, Judge.
All right, well, I'm just going to overrule the objection. You can go into that on cross, though, Mr. Thank you. Pryor.
Detective, can you look at State's Exhibit 78? And Your Honor, State's Exhibit 78 is, again, an affidavit of a custodian of records with one subpart, 78A. I believe this comes in by way of stipulation.
All right, 78 and 78A are offered. Any objection?
No, Judge.
Very well, both are admitted, 78 as well as 78A.
And Detective, what is State's Exhibit 78A?
It is a account application in the name of Chad Daybell for First Wine Bank.
And do you did you receive this document by warrant or subpoena?
Yes.
Did you provide this to the FBI?
I did.
Thank you. And can you look at State's Exhibit 79? Your Honor, 79 is a custodian of records affidavit, one subpart. I believe it comes in by way of stipulation.
That's correct, Judge.
Very well. Then, as offered, Exhibits 79 and 79A are both admitted.
Detective, what is State's Exhibit 79 and 79A?
79 is an affidavit records for Citibank for a credit card in the name of Chad Daybell.
Did you receive this document by warrant or subpoena?
Yes.
Did you provide it to Mike Douglas of the FBI?
I did.
Can you look at State's Exhibit 80? Your Honor, again, I know this is a bit monotonous, but this is State's Exhibit 80 is a business record declaration or affidavit with one subpart. I believe it comes in by way of stipulation.
Any objection?
Judge, it's in by stipulation.
Okay. Well, they're only in once I admit them. So Exhibit 80 is admitted and 80A is also admitted. And I appreciate counsel in going through, making sure our record is clear.
Detective, can you look at State's Exhibit 80 and 80A?
Yes.
What are those documents?
80 is a business declarations from Wells Fargo. 80A is a Visa card for Wells Fargo for Mr. Daybell.
All right. And did you receive those records by warrant or subpoena?
Yes.
Did you provide them to Mike Douglas of the FBI?
Yes.
And Detective, do you have State's Exhibit? Can you look at State's Exhibit 81 and 81A. Again, 81 is a business records affidavit with one subpart. I believe it comes in by way of stipulation.
That is correct, Judge.
Very well. Exhibit 81 and 81A are both admitted.
Detective, do you recognize State's Exhibit 81A?
Yes.
What is it?
81 is a business records affidavit for Capital One, and the subdocument 81A is the monthly statements for purchases on the Capital One credit card for Chad and Tammy Daybell.
Did you receive those by warrant or subpoena?
Yes.
Did you provide those to Mike Douglas at the FBI?
I did.
Detective, can you look at State's Exhibit 88? And Your Honor, 88 is an affidavit of records custodian. It has one subpart. I believe it comes in by way of stipulation.
That's correct, Judge.
All right. And that was Exhibit 88, correct?
Yes, Your Honor.
Right, Judge.
And 88A. Or
and 88A.
All right. Thank you.
Detective, are you familiar with State's Exhibit 88?
Yes.
What is it?
88 is an affidavit of records from Julie Black of Kauai Dreams Realty for an email that was sent to her.
Okay. And what is State's Exhibit 88A?
88A is a screenshot of an email that was sent from Mr. Daybell to Kauai Dreams Realty.
Detective, how did you receive this document?
Well, I came into this document in February of 2020, trying to locate the kids. We monitor social media sites and came across this document. And so I reached out to Julie Black to see the validity of this email and whether or not it was true or not.
Go ahead. And were you able to verify with her that this was an accurate document?
Yes.
And then she sent it to you with that records of an affidavit?
Yes.
Or affidavit custodian. What date was this email sent?
This date was sent. The email was sent on November 8th. See right here, 2019. That was about 3 days after Chad and Lori were married in Hawaii.
All right. And who sent the email?
The email address sender is chad.daybell@gmail.com.
And who is the recipient of the email?
Julie Black.
And what does the... Can you read the body of the email?
I can. It says, "We are interested in seeing this property. Would the owners be interested in leasing this property to a clean couple with no pets or children? Please let us know. Thank you."
Detective, what was of note of this document to your, or why was this document significant to your investigation?
Well, as of November 8th in this email, it's stating that Chad and Lori have no kids. And so we're out looking for the kids, and they put this in, or Chad puts this in a body of an email saying that they don't have kids. We just found this to be odd.
And when did you receive this email? Do you recall?
It was in February of 2020.
Was it, in fact, can you look at State's Exhibit 88? And I believe there's a date on the affidavit. And what was the date that the affidavit was submitted?
It was submitted on the 4th of March, 2020.
Okay. And so at this time in your investigation, had you been able to locate Kylie or JJ?
No.
Right. And so was the significance of that to you that Chad Daybell, the husband of the children's, the husband of the children's mother, was stating they didn't have kids?
Correct.
Judge, that's argumentative.
It's a late objection, so it's overruled. It was answered.
Detective, do you have State's Exhibit 90?
Yes.
Your Honor, again, State's Exhibit 90 is an affidavit of business records. There are two parts, 90A and B. I believe it comes in by way of stipulation.
Any objection to 90, 90A, and 90B?
No, Judge.
All right. All three of those exhibits, 90, 90A, and 90B, are admitted.
Detective, can you look at 90A?
Okay.
What is that document?
This is a subscriber information for Cable One. It's the one of the online or cable services that's offered in Rexburg. It is named for Lori Vallow, September 3rd of 2019.
And is there an address associated with that?
Yes, it shows 565 Pioneer Road, apartment number 175.
All right. And is there an email associated with that?
Yes, the email listed is lollytime@icloud.com.
Detective, why were these documents of interest to you in your investigation?
Well, as we learned on her rental application, when she was moving from Arizona to Idaho, she filled out the lease for apartment number 107. So when the warrants that were served, we found her to be living in apartment 175. The other area of that we'd like to inquiry about was there's a IP address that's associated with this account as well.
And why was that of note to you?
Well, later in our investigation, we found that Lori was in possession of Tylee's cell phone, and Venmo purchases were being made from this cell phone through this IP address.
And so could you track those Venmo payments through that IP address?
Yes.
And when you look at State's Exhibit 90B, what is that document?
This is Cable One subscriber information in the name of Alex Cox for 565 Pioneer Road, apartment 107. And this was generated on September 11th of 2019.
And what was significant to that document in your investigation?
This was the apartment that Lori was originally assigned to be living out of. They had switched apartments.
Right. Detective, can you look at State's Exhibit 91? Again, Your Honor, 91 is an affidavit of a records custodian with one subpart 91A. I believe this comes in by way of stipulation.
That's correct, Judge.
Very well. Exhibit 91 and 91A are both admitted.
Detective, do you recognize State's Exhibit 91A?
I do.
What is it?
This is a letter from Windstream Services stating that we're looking for information of a Venmo that was sent from an IP address off of Tylee's phone. And so when researching the IP address, it came back to Windstream Communications. And so we reached out to them and said, do you have any information in regards to Tylee Ryan? And they said that they didn't. They just offer IP addresses or static IP addresses. And this was the IP address that we were inquiring about was issued to a residence in hotel in Kansas City, Missouri.
So what led you to look for these documents?
Again, we were looking back on Tylee's BBVA accounts. We know that she wasn't receiving her regular deposits, and the money that was being deposited into her account was from Lori's account that Tylee had no control over. So she was sending money, transferring it into Tylee's account, and then it would be Venmo'd off almost immediately. And so at following up on those types of transactions, that's how we came to know this particular IP address.
All right. And so there, just to be clear, a Venmo from Tylee's account was sent through this IP address.
Correct.
Right. And do you know where this Windstream Services is located?
They're located in Missouri.
And did it give a date for that transaction?
Did October 10th of 2019.
Okay, so the Venmo went through that IP address on October 10th.
Correct.
2019 in Missouri.
Correct.
Okay. Can you look at State's Exhibit 92? Again, Your Honor, 92 is an affidavit of a records custodian with a subpart 92A. I believe it comes in by way of stipulation.
That is correct, Judge.
All right, 92 and 92A are both admitted.
Detective, what is State's Exhibit 92A?
92A is a folio bill from the residence in Kansas City Airport, located in Kansas City, Missouri.
And what was significant about this document to you?
This was the location of the IP address that was given on Tylee's cell phone on that date.
Okay. And does this document identify any individual for renting a room?
Yes. The room was purchased by Melanie Boudreau, who is Lori Ballow's niece.
Right. And do you know if anyone else was with her?
We know that Lori traveled to Kansas City with Melanie on this date. They flew from Phoenix to Missouri on the 10th and returned to Phoenix on the 12th. And we can confirm that with the airline reservations.
All right. And what was significant about that trip to you in your investigation?
That Lori was in Missouri using Tylee's phone and Tylee wasn't there.
Okay. Were you able to verify through flight records where they flew from?
I did.
Where did they fly from? Bailiff, where did they fly from?
They flew from Phoenix to Missouri, according to the flight records.
And so on that folio, it only stated the two people.
The two people, yes.
So there was no Tylee Ryan on that folio?
No.
And shows, no J.J. Ballow?
No. And it shows that the room was paid for by Melanie.
Okay. Detective, we're going to shift gears a little bit. As part of your investigation, did you ever engage in any type of search for pharmaceutical records?
Yes.
What type of search did you do?
In cases such as missing persons, we'll reach out if we have an idea of where the person we were looking for is living or has lived, and we will reach out to the state as a resource to the state pharmaceutical board and request if any prescriptions were filled that may lead us to a location that or an area that they may be in.
And did you do that for, who did you do a search for?
I did a search for JJ. I did a search for Tylee. There was one we searched for Melanie Boudreaux as well, and also Lori.
And how do you go about doing a search for pharmaceutical records?
We'll reach out to the pharmaceutical board in the state and submit a request and let them know the circumstances, and they will then submit the information to you.
All right. And does each state do that the same?
Same premise, but they're all a little bit different. We reached out to the state of Arizona, the state of Montana, and state of Hawaii, and the state of Idaho.
Why Montana?
Well, early on, as this case was unfolding at the very beginning, we were receiving tips, one of the tips called in. They thought maybe JJ and Tylee were being held in a compound in Montana somewhere. So we just called upon that to check on that. Right. And also that Melanie Boudreaux at the time was living directly next door in apartment 174. That's why her name was run as well.
Detective, can you look at State's Exhibit 94 and 94A? Your Honor, State's Exhibit 94 is a records affidavit of records custodian. I may just have a very brief sidebar.
Yes.
All right. I apologize, Detective. Can you look at State's Exhibit 94 and 94A? And I can't remember if this was admitted or not.
Not yet.
Okay. Your Honor, again, 94 is an affidavit of a records custodian. 94 is the subpart. I believe this comes in by way of stipulation.
That's correct, Judge.
Very well. 94 and 94A are both admitted.
Detective, what was State's Exhibit 94A?
These are prescription monitoring program checks for the state of Hawaii through the Hawaii Narcotics Enforcement Division.
And did you find any records of prescriptions for JJ Vallow in Hawaii?
I believe we did, but not in the time frame that we were requesting.
Okay. And did you find any prescriptions for Tylee Ryan?
No. I don't believe so.
You mentioned checking in Montana.
Yes.
And can you look at State's Exhibit 95 and 95A? Your Honor, again, I believe this document comes in by way of stipulation.
That's correct, Josh.
All right, Exhibit 95 and 95A, both admitted.
And Detective, if you'll look at 95A, when you submitted names to these states, did you just do one name or multiple names?
We did multiple names. We knew that when we were looking through the airline records, JJ would fly under the name of Ryan, or he'd fly under the name Vallow. So we just we would use both last names when we were searching and researching for this
type. So what was the name you searched for on this page?
JJ Ryan.
And here?
Joshua Jackson Vallow.
Here?
Joshua Jackson Ryan.
Here.
Melanie Boudreaux.
On this page?
Melanie Pawlowski. This would be Melanie Boudreaux's current last name. She had remarried in November of 2019.
And here?
And the last here is Tylee Ryan.
Did you ever find records of Tylee Ryan traveling under a different name?
Only once, and that was on a trip to Hawaii in early 2019. She flew under Tylee Vallow one way and returned Tylee Ryan and a different on the return leg.
Detective, did you perform that search in Idaho?
I did not. Another detective did, but the search was performed.
And are you aware if any results came in from that search?
There were no results.
All right. And any results from Arizona?
No results from Arizona, although they live down there. I was educated that Arizona only keeps track of narcotic analgesics or painkillers, opiate base drugs. That's all they keep track of. They don't do anything for any other types of medications.
Detective, can you look at State's Exhibit 96? In your honor, 96 is an affidavit of a records custodian, and it has one subpart A.
Any objection to 96 and 96A being admitted?
No, Judge. Thank you.
Very well. Both are admitted.
Detective, can you look at State's Exhibit 96A? That is.
There's more to come in the trial of Chad Daybell. Press subscribe so you don't miss any of our continuing coverage right here from True Crime Today and the Hidden Killers podcast.